Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Create, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Brian Wayne. Brian is the founder and CEO of XQ Message. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
So a brief background about yourself, Brian. Can you share with us what you've been up to, yourself, your work experience?
So I'm a serial entrepreneur. I started in video games in New York. I had a studio there and then a game startup. A work opportunity for my wife, moved my family out here to the Bay Area about 5 years ago. I did a brief stint at Intel and then joined a startup called Series X as the chief product officer. That was a venture development studio. That was in New York, so I was flying back and forth way too much for a father of two small children. So during that experience, I met my co-founder, Junaid Islam, and we founded XQ, a smart data protection platform, about 2 years ago. So XQ Message is a cybersecurity technology that encrypts and routes data to and from devices like mobile phones, IoT, and connected devices at the edge of the internet. It's lightweight, highly secure, delivers end-to-end quantum safe data protection, even to devices and applications that have no ability to do so natively. So that's where I am today, working on smart infrastructure, secure fiber, satellite, smart cities, as well as consumer data.
Okay. And what's the story behind, what's the reason behind, you know, coming up with the setup, with the startup, the idea, you know, we would like to hear that story. You know, it was just like driving around in one day you're like, hey, I need to execute messages, or what was the pain point that you were trying to solve?
Right. So we focus on digital privacy as a human right. So XQ is a marriage of product process and innovation. I bring product, and Junaid, my co-founder, brings a lifetime of inventing new security innovations. When we got together, we realized that privacy was the foundation of digital transformation. And it doesn't really exist right now. I mean, every day, people, businesses, governments are hacked. I mean, in the US alone, they lost $4 billion last year to digital fraud. And most of your property is going to be digital in the future. So every workflow requires security, and current systems are simply not set up to deal with trillions of transactions a day. So we met and we thought we could give people and businesses back their privacy. We started with messaging, letting people use the apps that they love to communicate securely. But really, when we launched our API and developer program for encryption as a service is when things really began to take off. This allows anyone to easily add security, compliance, and privacy to their apps on any platform for any type of data. And that really changed everything for us. Now we're in smart cities, secure fiber, smart space as a service, resilient energy, smart transportation. It's always been fun to work on this, but now it's really exciting as it takes off. And we're really seeing how we can be the solution for securing the world's infrastructure and information.
Got it. So, you know, remote work. How do you incorporate the idea of remote in your mode of working, company, and how's the experience with it?
Yeah, so it's fundamental to the blueprint of XQ. We never intended to have an office. We just wanted to find the best people and allow them to have the lifestyle that they preferred. So if you live in the Bay Area, and we were talking about this a little bit before, you know, commuting is insane here, right? It can be a 4-hour round trip. We didn't want to compete with big tech for talent. And we didn't want to waste our lives in traffic. So remote work was part of the blueprint from the very, very beginning.
Wow. Okay. And can you discuss the major roadblocks or the challenges you faced when it came down to managing remote teams, bringing remote teams, trying to push the culture to them, those kind of things?
Yeah. So you know, I think that it's been really interesting to sort of build a remote company from the very beginning. You know, you're focusing on trust, focusing on communication, building team relationships, you know, staying organized and focused is a real challenge, and making sure that all the voices in an organization are heard. Just staying human, you know, when you're not with as many humans is a challenge. I think we've all experienced that during the pandemic here. So we're trying to choose tools to keep us honest and staying accountable, but listening to the team and making sure that all members of the team are listening to each other as well. That's been it's been a huge challenge for us. I've had teams all over the world in the past. You know, I when I had a game company in New York, we had Nearshore in Spokane, Washington, and then we actually opened an office in Montevideo, Uruguay, for software development. So I've been managing remote teams for years. And then at Series X as well, when we were helping out Stadium Goods, we literally had developers in every time zone in the world, you know, and coordinating all of that and is interesting. But the culture is really, really important. Like, you bring up culture, and that's key to everything. Like, the respect, making sure that people are communicating, and giving people the space to not just work themselves to death, I guess, which is a lot of what happens now when there's no real break between, you know, life and work. It just sort of all melds together. So just communicating that through leadership to the team has been one of the things that's helped us stay successful. And just hiring the right people, like getting people that really get along well together, having a good mix is everything. Like, you spend so much time working, it's so important to like the people that you work with and to have like a healthy, non-toxic kind of communication strategy here. So we try to respect boundaries, and we all seem to be getting our work done. So that's nice.
Okay. And do you see the future of remote employment increasing? And, you know, what other things do you think can be done differently to make it even better and more effective?
Yeah, well, it's really hard to think about everyone going back to offices again and commuting the same way. I think that we've all opened up to a different format for work. We've been forced to. I think that, you know, during the pandemic, especially in the last 12 months, I have heard things like 10 years of digital transformation in 6 months, right? So this idea that we've got to show up at the office, you know, that there's casual Fridays, you know, all these yeah. sort of work office things that were such a constraint. I think people are finding, wow, I really didn't need to be in all those meetings. I really didn't need to, you know, actually be like spend that much of my time going to that place to work together. Now that we have all these great tools available to us, it's democratized a lot of things. I mean, you can find talent wherever it is. And I mean, that's what we do. So we have people all over the world, all over the US and Canada, and even a developer in Thailand as well. And it's allowed us to find the right people, I think, in a way that we weren't constrained to a geography, right? And that's everything right now.
Yeah, true. So, you know, my next couple of questions would be in regards to your own personal activities or your own personal productivity hacks that you do on a daily basis that helped you navigate through this pandemic. You know, you've mentioned you've got two young kids, then working from home, all of that stress, all of that mental health, all of that pressure coming, right? So what routine changes you've brought into your own life, or what things you've done to help you be more productive towards work as well as be sane?
Yeah. So, you know, this is going to sound odd, but one of the things that I got into over the last year and a half was stoicism, which sounds ridiculous, but it helps you not get aggravated about the things that you can't control, you know, and just, and gives you a little bit of perspective on the fact that, like, hey, everything's not going to be perfect. Forgive yourself and also forgive other people. Assume the best intentions rather than malice. Whether it's your kids being loud and interrupting your meeting, or your spouse, you know, having to take a meeting at an awkward time, just, you know, again, communicating with people has been a big part of this, and going into every situation with empathy. I think I've had to up my empathy game quite a bit to understand, you know, that everyone else is just as frustrated with the situation. Everyone else is just as stressed out as I am. And, you know, just making time, like just blocking out times when I'm not going to have meetings so that I can do other things, making sure that I make the time to, you know, take my kids to school, pick them up from school, spend time with them, you know, when they're around, rather than trying to force things. And I think that everyone's been a lot more flexible with schedules, you know, with meetings, with everything else. Like, it feels like the world in general is getting a little bit more forgiving, at least in culture.
I agree. So yeah, we recently got a German Shepherd, a puppy, 10 weeks old. That's so awesome. I've been meaning to call him Caesar for the last 4 months, right? So the puppy comes home and my 4-year-old, the younger one, she's 4. She goes like, I'm like, hey, Bano, look at Caesar. She goes like, no, this is not Caesar. I'm like, okay, Wolfie. No, this is Caesar. No, I'm going to call her Wolfie. Everyone is going to call her Wolfie. That was it. I was like, okay, Wolfie it is.
That's amazing. Did that just happen yesterday?
That happened like 4 days back ago. So yeah. So the whole.
This is a fortuitous conversation. Then my son's name is Wolf as well. And he refers to himself as Wolfie. So both have members of our family named Wolfie now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, so last question, you know, being a serial entrepreneur, being an experienced individual, you know, who's been through multiple cycles of the startup world, who's seen both the East Coast and the West Coast, right? What top three pieces of advice would you give to young entrepreneurs, you know, young individuals who just started out just before the pandemic or just in the middle of the pandemic and just got hit by multiple turbulences, multiple kind of winds, everything coming from here, you know? So what top 1, 2, 3 pieces of advice would you give to youngsters, you know, who are entrepreneurs, but, you know?
Yeah. Be okay with the fact that it's not going to go the way you think it's going to go.
Okay.
And be resilient enough to adapt to that, right? It's going to be harder. It's going to take longer, you know? And part of being an entrepreneur is just understanding that the ups and downs are part of the pain as much as the joy, you know? It's going to be more work than you think it is. Yeah. And that's okay, because it's so rewarding. Right. And it's so rewarding to have control over this part of your life and to be able to bring something into the world that might, you know, change the world. That's a huge opportunity, you know, and we should be grateful for the opportunity to do that in this time. I mean, we're looking at a time when entrepreneurship seems to be at a height, you know, and everyone can get into this game. And that hasn't really ever been the case, I think, in human history. So It's an exciting time. It's a time of more promise than, you know, we can really democratize promise than we can probably find in history. So that's really exciting, you know, but take your time finding your product market fit. Make sure you've got the right thing before you decide to like go out and pour gasoline on the fire, and scale and do all this other stuff, hire. Make sure that you've got the right product, that you're solving the right problem for people. And that's going to make your life a lot easier. And then hire the right people. Because as we said before, you spend a lot of time with people, even remotely, even Zoom, you know, you still spend time with them, even if it's remote work. So find people that, you know, have your values. And then regardless of whether you're successful or not, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be a worthwhile experience.
True. Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm pretty sure we could have spoken for another 20 minutes, but my marketing team forces me to keep them short and precise. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and take care of yourself.
It's been such a pleasure. You too. Hope to speak to you soon. And